back to the Chicago Tomahawk. I'm Mike. I got my line mate Matt with me. And today we're going to go over the Hawks' last two games versus the Coyotes and the Golden Knights. And then we're going to go over some NHL news. So, Matt, why don't you kick it off with some news from that Phoenix game, which I think that they should have won, but that wasn't the case.
Yeah, they gave up a goal early, and then they gave up another goal late in the first period. So they were pretty much chasing the game. Good to see Kirby Doc get on the board. He got the first Hawks goal in the second period.
That whack, that home run.
That was nice. They were talking about him being a highlight reel against Cale Makar, and then the next game he kind of redeemed himself and made himself look good. So that was cool to see. But you know, it's not good to lose to a team that's what at the time was 7-22-3, and those are must-win games, and that's where I think, you know, an experienced coach is needed. I know you like Derek King, and you know I like him too. I like what he's done, but these are games that you really got to buckle down and win. And on a positive side of this game, Alex DeBrincat, he scored his 21st. I think he is like one of the few Hawks to ever get 20 goals his first four seasons, I believe. I think Tony Amonte is actually on that list, so that's pretty cool. But you know, Fleury wasn't good enough this game, and I know that the next game was obviously a big deal for him in Vegas. So I think he was kind of looking ahead, in my opinion.
Sure,
but I'll let you go over Vegas. I wish we could have got 2 points. Obviously, it would be a good 2 points to get against the Coyotes, and then obviously we beat the Knights. It would have been a nice 4 point little stretch we could have got here, but we did not.
You know, and the one thing I wanted to mention about the Yotes game was that, you know, the Hawks really, I think, shot themselves in the foot with some bad penalties. And I think if they wouldn't have made these penalties, you know, there was a chance that they could have won that game. But, you know, you don't want to be your own worst enemy, especially when you're trying to chase a playoff spot, which I believe they are trying to do. Can they accomplish it? It's as time is going on, you know, they're getting low on time. So if they're going to do it, they need to go on a big run here, like right now. Moving on to the Knights, you know, this is the first time, you know, Fleury was playing his old team, the Golden Knights. I thought that he played really, really well. He let in that first goal in, and then after that, it was lights out, man. I think that the Knights put together a really solid game. I think that they played three good periods as a team. The Hawks, on the other hand, I think that the first 13 minutes of the first period was had much to be desired, but then they kind of turned it around, and then what's been the case recently, they put in a solid second and third period. What I really liked about this game was after they got the go-ahead goal and we got into the third period, you know, they seemed to be trading, not I don't want to say blows with Vegas, but you know, they were playing with them and they were keeping up with them. And then when we got to about 7 to 6 minutes in, they shut them down, and they didn't let any goals go by. And to be honest with you, Vegas really didn't have many, I would say, really good high danger scoring chances at the end of the game, because I think that the Hawks defense played really well. It seems the last, from what I have seen, when they played the Knights, they seem to be closing down passing lanes again, and I like to see that happening. So it was a big win, I think, for us, because we lost that Phoenix game, which should have been a must win, but this Vegas game was more of a, where are we at in the league? You know, where do we stand? Can we beat these really good teams? You know, they took Colorado, which is a very good team, to overtime, and they lost by what could possibly be the goal of the season from Cale Makar when he undressed Kirby Doc. And it didn't matter who was there. You know, they would have been undressed too. And then they come back, they lose to Phoenix, and then they beat Vegas. So I think that it's good. They're headed in the right direction, and they need to start putting together a series and a string of wins. I mean, like, they need to come out and do like 10 straight games and win some games here. So what do you think, Matt? What do you think needs to happen for them to right the ship?
Yeah, like you said, we need a couple win streaks. Like if we win four, lose one, then we win three. That's what you need. Unfortunately, we're right now a WLWLWL, sometimes LLLW.
LLWWWLL.
I mean, that just can't happen. All the good teams, like right now, the hot teams are, I believe the Pittsburgh Penguins have won 9 in a row. I think they actually just lost maybe Saturday, I believe. The Blues are on a roll right now. And these are the teams that are just, they're doing their jobs. They're shutting down games at the end. And I know, I think it was Saturday night, I watched the Blues and the Dallas Stars. And the Blues got 2 goals in the last minute. Ended up getting a lucky, you know, the refs, I thought, kind of had an outcome on that game. The Stars, it was kind of a weak call. But, I mean, the Blues did their job. They scored on the power play, tied it. Then they got the go-ahead. Those are just like the old school Hawks teams. Like, you know, they're down, say, like 2-1 in the third period. They pull the goalie and they score. The Hawks take the OT and win. It's like the team of destiny, you know. They're just meant to win. They're so good. But we need some of that going. We need Fleury. I think Fleury's been good. I know he didn't have the greatest game against the Coyotes, but he looked good against that Vegas game. I think he had it marked on his calendar, and you know he really wanted to. I don't want to say like stick a middle finger out at the ownership or the management team, but you know you want to beat the team that traded you that didn't want you anymore, just to kind of say, just like leave a little doubt in their minds, but. You know what, man? I'm kind of curious to see what the Knights look like when Jack Eichel comes in. Because I think that he is the type of player, is the game breaker they've been trying to get. They thought, you know, Mark Stone is a game breaker, but I'd really like to see Eichel with this team. It's going to be very interesting because right now they're number one in the Pacific. That's, I mean, it could change at any time, but I'm really curious to see what he can bring to this team.
I wonder if it's going to be positive or negative. You know, sometimes you get a new star player in, and it kind of puts a bog in the, you know, in the machine, and the players don't play as well. But he's a generational player. I mean, he is a very good player, and I'm excited to see where he fits in as well. I think he's going to need a little time to get his legs adjusted and get back into the groove of things, into the hockey, end of the hockey season, going into the hardest part of the season, the playoffs. But I'm looking forward to it as well. You know, something I wanted to talk about is, you know, we have two sides of the puck, the offensive and the defensive side of the puck. And one thing that I've noticed is that I think, you know, obviously DeBrincat, I'm going to leave him out of the conversation because it's pretty obvious. He's what you would consider, you know, just a shoo-in for being like the number one offensive guy. But I would like to note that, you know, Brandon Hagel has been, you know, very, very positive on the offensive side of the puck. And I'd also like to mention that Mackenzie Entwistle has been doing very well on the bottom six pairings. And playing very well where he's been suited at. He's been, I would probably say, like a quiet, somewhat game changer. Because if you notice, when he goes into the corners, he wins a lot of those battles. And he plays really good on the defensive side of the puck. And I think that he's somebody that should be noted from his contributions that he deserves a spot on the team. I would also, I know I want us to string together a series of, you know, say 10 wins or so, but I would also like to see Soderblom again, you know, get an opportunity to go out there and play some hockey. Do you think that he's going to see any time, or do you think that the Hawks are in playoff mode trying to shoot for a spot?
You know what? I think at the end of the season, it might be worth giving him a couple games, but right now, you know, you're going to have Lincoln and come back eventually. And we're paying Fleury to, you know, be the number one this year. So, you know, I mean, who knows? Maybe the deadline, they will let Fleury go somewhere if he's up for it. And I think that giving that kid a couple starts towards the end might be a good, kind of like a tryout for the backup. Maybe next year it'd be interesting to see. And if they don't want to bring a veteran in, they want to go young. I could see that happening.
So moving on to some NHL news, I want to bring up John Klingberg because he's got a very interesting thing going on in Dallas. We traded John and Patrick Sharp to the Stars way back when we, obviously when we traded Patrick Sharp. And I thought it's a little questionable because I thought that Klingberg was pretty close to, you know, being on a starting team's roster. Turns out as soon as he gets to the Stars, he ties together some really good seasons, some very good offensive seasons, and he was great defensively as well. We're hearing that Klingberg wants out of Dallas. What do you got on that, Matt?
Yeah, I heard that he was very unhappy with his contract talks. I'm assuming he's seeing all these defensemen, you know, this summer getting paid, like obviously Jones got his 9.5, I believe. Drawing a blank. Darnell Nurse got his payday. Cale Makar got his payday. And I think he believes he should be in that class. And I guess Dallas does not. So obviously he's, you know, he's unhappy. I don't know if he's asking for a trade. I've heard on the fourth period that he was requesting a trade. But here's the thing. You're going to ask for a trade and you're going to be a UFA in the summer. Well, I mean, what's the point of that? Dallas is not going to get a good return. Now, they might, you know, they might trade him as a rental type of thing and let him sign somewhere else in the summer just so they don't lose him for free. But I believe that he'll probably finish in Dallas this season, and maybe he'll get a contract extension, but maybe he'll just walk. So we're going to see in the summer, probably.
You know what? I mistook John Klingberg for Steven Johns. I don't know why I did that, but I was trying to think to myself, like, hold on, was Klingberg on the Blackhawks or was it this other guy? And it was Steven Johns that was on it. Yeah. His name just popped into my head, and I was sorry about that.
I thought you meant Clink Hammer. Remember him?
Yeah, there was a Clink Hammer too. Yeah. You know, it's like after a while, man, some of these names just kind of just start blending in with each other, yeah. Especially some of these dudes.
Believe it or not, this kid was a fifth round pick in 2010 for Dallas. And you know what? He's got some pretty decent numbers, but obviously the last couple of years haven't been good to him. And he's going to be 30 next year. So I don't see him getting that 7-year, $8-9 million deal at his age right now. I think it's a little too late, you know.
For like, would you give him $8-9 million for like a 4-year deal or a 3-year deal?
No. I think I'd give him close, maybe max 7.5, 3 years.
Okay.
Because his numbers have been declining and declining. And just look at Dallas right now. They have Jamie Benn, who's aged, Tyler Seguin, still very good hockey players, but they're getting older, and I don't know what's going on in Dallas. They got Jason Robertson, who's a very good young player. I would probably sell at the trade deadline if I'm Dallas GM. I'm sorry, I forgot his name. I believe it's Nil or something. I forget. I'm sorry. But I would keep Robertson and, you know, build around him because he's definitely he's going to be a great player for many years.
Yeah, they recently moved Seguin from center to wing. So I believe he's playing one wing and Jamie Benn is playing the other instead of him playing center and Jamie Benn playing a wing. Actually, I think they moved Jamie Benn to center as well.
I just can't believe that this team was in the Stanley Cup final 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Against Tampa. And I think it was mostly Khudobin, the goalie. He's actually sent down now. That's how bad it's been for him. But I think he was just standing on his head, and he was just a man on a mission, and they just fell short to a good Tampa team. But, I think it's time to probably start selling these older pieces and maybe start building up for the future if I'm the Dallas Stars.
You know, one thing I wanted to mention about Marc-Andre Fleury was that he is the first goalie in NHL history to have a win against all 32 teams.
Oh, yeah, because that's right. We beat the Kraken. That's right. That's good for him. And then he beat his former team.
Right.
Pretty impressive. Cool.
So Patrick Waugh was interviewed by the Avs. What do you got on that, Matt?
Yeah, this is something I just heard today on NHL radio today. And I, you know what, man? It's kind of cool. It's kind of weird because we all know Patrick Waugh left the Canadiens on bad terms. I believe his last game, the Red Wings just lit him up. And you know, he goes, they finally pull him after, you know, the game so far out of reach. I believe it was like 7-1 or something. And Wah went right by the coach, talked to the owner behind the glass and said, "This is the last effing time I'm playing here," or something. And he was traded right away to the Avalanche, and we know what he did there. He won two cups with those guys, and he's a Hall of Fame goalie, one of the best of all time. I don't know how he would be as a general manager or a president, whatever he's interviewing for, but he, you know, most of these former greats, they do make good management type positions. You know, they're very good at it. I'm not saying they're good at coaching, but you know, maybe it'll be a good pickup for the Avalanche, or I'm sorry, the Canadiens. And I also heard Danny Briere was interviewed by this club too, which is very interesting to me too, because, wow, you know, he was a pretty decent player, you know, back in the day. I don't think he was like an elite player or anything, but I never knew that he had connections with the Canadiens. Was he on the Canadiens one year? Or?
You know what? I can't remember. I don't remember him playing with the Canadiens. I remember him playing with the Coyotes or Arizona or Phoenix.
Yeah. Well, he played with Philly. He played with Buffalo.
He was good with Philly, man.
Yeah, he was. He was better with Buffalo. I remember him and Chris Drury were co-captains when Buffalo was very close. I think the Hurricanes actually knocked him out. It was the Eastern Final. It was Buffalo versus the Hurricanes, and the Hurricanes knocked him out, and they won that year.
Yeah. I thought he had a good career. You know, it's funny when you talk about Patrick Waugh in Montreal. You remember when he told Jeremy Roenick, I can't hear what JR says.
That was Colorado. That was Colorado.
He was with Colorado?
Yeah,
was Colorado. He was like, "I have my two Stanley Cups in my ears. I can't hear JR."
the complete argument ender right there.
Yeah, no kidding. Brutal. Yep. All right, so where's Malkin at with the Penguins? Because we're getting to the halfway point of the season, and this is usually when Malkin likes to show up.
Yeah, I'm hearing it's a game time decision, so we're going to see how he's feeling. I guess he's very close if they're saying that. And, dude, the Pittsburgh Penguins right now are on fire. They are rolling. I think hopefully he doesn't ruin the chemistry. I don't think he's that type of player that would do that. But obviously, if you're putting Malkin in, you're sending somebody, you know, to be scratched. So hopefully it doesn't ruin the chemistry. I think they should be okay. But, you know, it's the last year of his contract. It's going to be interesting this year if they're going to extend him or let him walk.
I think they let him walk.
I think they don't have a choice. I mean, they have to let him walk because there's some good players on this team that are going to want some cash soon. There's this kid named Rodriguez, I believe. I picked him up in fantasy. He is tearing it up right now, and I think he's on a line with Sid. Those guys are just playing great together.
Evander Kane has been waived by the San Jose Sharks. Is this the end of Evander Kane in the NHL, or do you think that he's going to get a chance with another team?
I don't know, man. This guy is just, it's so weird. Like, he's not, it's almost like he wants to just do bad things all the time. And I could maybe see a couple years, maybe he'll say he's changed, man. Now he's got some help. Maybe a team would sign him cheap, but I don't think a team's going to want to touch that right now and get that bad press, you know?
Yeah, and considering he had a really good season last year, so it's not that he can't play. I think that maybe some of his off-ice issues really overshadow what he does on the ice.
Yeah, it's a shame because you're right. He had a good year, and he was really good with the Sharks. He earned a 7-year contract, a lot of money, I believe, Doug Wilson paid him. And, you know, he deserved it. He found a home there. He found some chemistry with all the players, Logan Couture, Brent Burns, Erik Karlsson, the forward. You know, it gelled for him, and it looks like he found his home. And, you know, unfortunate off-ice stuff, just it's killing him. He should just hire someone to stay behind him and tell him what's wrong and what's right. You know,
life coach.
Yeah, life coach. Just, hey, nope. Go inside, close the door. You're staying in all night and stay off your phone.
Yeah, it's really a shame, man. It's really a shame because, you know, he's got a lot of talent, but he just doesn't, he just can't get it together. I remember back in the day, they showed him when the Blackhawks were in the Stanley Cup Finals, and he got to meet Kaner. He was with a few other guys at the time. He was with Sagan, I believe, as well, and they got to meet him. But moving on, Bertuzzi continues to score, man. This guy is a really, really turning it up this year. I think that he felt that he needed to have a career year this year, and he seems to be a force right now. Where are you at with Bertuzzi?
I'm a big fan of him, man. His face just looks like the hockey player face. He's got the long lettuce in the back. He's got the missing tooth in the front. He's scoring goals at will, and, you know, it's... Stevie Y's got to be happy because he kind of reminds me of like a 90s Detroit Red Wing player, you know, like a banger type of guy. And so is Dylan Larkin. I'm giving him a lot of credit, too. He's actually upped his game this year. You know, they threw the C on him a couple seasons ago, and I think he's a great leader. I don't know if you saw the other night off the faceoff, he cross-checked Philip Deneau, and they just both dropped the gloves and went old school. And it was cool to see.
Wow.
Back to Bertuzzi, man. I really like this guy. I know, like, he's taken a lot of heat from, you know, the media and all that stuff, but whatever. He's his play's backing everything up, and I hope Detroit can, you know, lock this guy up for many years, because he just reminds me, he's like the Detroit Red Wing type of player that we hate. But you know what? They're out east now, so I don't have to hate him as much.
Yeah, man. I mean, I like the guy. He just seems like he's maybe like a Brad Marchand type.
He's gritty. Yeah, he's a gritty, he's really gritty guy. He could score. He'll do whatever. He'll fight you. He'll score. He'll pass. It's the type of guy you want on your team. I see a little Brandon Hagel in him. But obviously, you know, Bertuzzi's scoring a lot of goals, and Hagel's not there yet. But hopefully he can get there.
So I need help with the next name. I want to say Juicy Saros.
Juicy Smollett?
How do you say Saros' first name?
UC.
I like UC Saros. Yeah, yep. Okay. So I've liked this guy ever since I saw him last year. I mean, it seems like he... You know, being a brick wall is kind of like a hobby of his. He's just incredible. I think that this guy, I think that the Preds are nowhere without this guy. I think that they would be at the bottom of the league, to be honest with you.
AHL, yes.
I think he's the difference maker on that team. Is there a case for him to be MVP?
Yes, there is, because if you take him away, they are an AHL team. They got Philip Forsberg, who's pretty damn good. But if they don't have Saros in net, they are nowhere. This guy's 19-9-1, 2.21 goals against, .929 save percentage. He, one of those awesome Finn goalies that you get. You know, I don't know how Nashville does it. They find goalies every year. They seem to have. I know they started off with Thomas Vokoun. Obviously Pekka. They've just had good luck with goalies, and this guy, he's not a big guy. I don't know if you noticed this. He's like under 6 foot. You know, usually now it's big goalies are the new trend. You know, Big Ben, who just retired, Bishop, he was a tall goalie, fast. But UC Saros, he's a smaller guy, and he's just solid, man, and like you said, if you take him away, they are a very bad team. I think the Hawks would be, and maybe even Phoenix would be better than them, just the way that they play too defensively at times. But they put a lot of work on this guy, and he shows up every night and answers it. So, yeah, I think absolutely him, McDavid, and I would probably have to say Shesterkin is another guy for the Rangers. He's surprising. I mean, I didn't know too much about him. And that's another club that's just nailed it with goalies. Henrik Lundqvist to Shesterkin. That's how lucky is that? You're getting two solid goalies after one retires. Same with Rene, you get Saros. I hope the Hawks can do that one day.
Or figure it out.
Yeah, just start drafting correctly. That's the Hawks' problem.
Yeah, no kidding. So the Hawks are playing, when you guys listen to this will be Tuesday tonight. They are going to be playing the Blue Jackets. what should be an interesting game. You know, the Blue Jackets, they started off the season on a tear. They seem to have cooled down a little bit, but they're still a tough team to play against. I'm looking forward to seeing how this, you know, how this game goes. And we're going to see if hopefully the Hawks can take another step, get another win, and be able to you know, start to put a string of games together. You know, me and Matt, we want to thank everybody for listening. You know, we're very, very appreciative to everybody. Continue to listen. If you're new, hit subscribe so you don't miss out on future podcasts. And we'll see you on the next one. This is the Tomahawk. We're out of here.